Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is podcast number 112. I'm recording it on Thursday, March 19th, 2009. The PE10 level today is 13. That's just a wee bit below fair value. Stocks purchased at today's prices offer a strong long-term value proposition. The music for the podcast is by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. This particular selection is entitled Human Beat. The title of the podcast is a funny one. Strange one, provocative one. If government regulation of the finance sector were what it should be, anyone who bought one share of stock from 1995 through 2008 would be in jail. Rob, you're being mean again, Rob. We don't all want to go to jail. That's mean to say we should all be in jail. We all purchased stock between 1995 and 2008. Everybody did. We don't all want to be in jail, Rob. Come on. Well, the whole situation, of course, is it's a comedy if it's not a tragedy. You have to decide. If you're going to take it serious, the fact that we have destroyed the greatest economy on the face of planet Earth because we didn't want to permit honest posting on safe withdrawal rates is crazy. So it's a comedy. But the fact that we've all destroyed our financial freedom dreams makes it a tragedy. So it's both. And, you know, I wrote the title the way I did to point that out. It's got its tragic element in that I'm going to argue in the podcast that what I say is true. We all should be in jail because we've all hurt ourselves and we've all hurt our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers and our community members. We're all meanies. It's not just Rob who's a meanie. We're all big meanies. So I want to bring out that tragedy. And at the same time, I think it's a good idea to do it in as lighthearted a way as possible. That's why I try to make it comical, because we can sit around and cry about what we did, or we can fret, or we can worry what's going to happen to us, or we can roll up our sleeves and get to work. And if we were to make a decision today is March 19th, 2009. If we were to make a decision today to get serious about our financial crisis, the crisis would be over when we woke up tomorrow morning. I'm not saying the money, we would get the money back. We obviously can't get the money back. The money never existed in the first place. So you can't get something back that doesn't exist. But the crisis could be over because we now are at fair value. We're actually just a little below fair value. Fair value, the fair value P10 level is 14/15. And today we're 13. So we're just a wee bit below fair value. So if we were to get serious about solving the crisis, we could tell people the truth about stock investing. We have the communications technology to get the word out to everyone. In a matter of days, we could have people who know what they're talking about, not John Bogle, not Mel Lindauer, not John Graney, not Bill Bernstein, not Jonathan Clements. We could have people, and I mean no slight at any of them, please, but we could have people who know what they're talking about go on national television and explain the situation. I'm talking about Robert Shiller and John Walter Russell and John Hussman and Jeremy Grantham and Rob Arnott. Cliff S. Ness, Ed Easterling, John Malden, Andrew Smithers. People who understand how investing works. To the extent they do, I say that even those people aren't true experts until we open up the possibility of all sharing accurate, honest information with each other. None of us are really experts, but the people I just mentioned, I think it would be fair to say, are miles ahead of the 90% who have been pushing passive investing for 30 years. So those people could go on television and explain, and then the internet, and explain to us all why we've lost most of our retirement money, why it's going to take us many, many more years to retire than it would have if no one had ever dreamed up this wonderful idea that timing doesn't work. Stocks for the long run, buy and hold, stay the course. And once we understood that, and once we accepted it, there clearly would be an emotional reaction in the early going. But once we came to terms with it, we would all feel a lot better about ourselves. We would all the fever would be broken, the poison would be released from our system. Yes, we would be a whole big bunch poorer than we thought we were a few years ago, and a whole big bunch poorer than we would have been if we had told the truth about stock investing from the first day. We certainly have made ourselves poorer in a real sense with this silliness. But by getting that behind us, by getting all the dishonesty and anger and hate and venom behind us, friction, anger, whatever, by getting that behind us, confusion, we would be able to see a brighter tomorrow. We would be able to look forward. We would be able to start moving forward. And that's what it takes. And there's no need for us to go any lower. The odds are that we're going to see another 50% drop in stock prices over the next 5-6 years. But there's no reason why that has to happen. That's optional. That's up to us. It's our choice. We have the power. If we start telling the truth about stock investing, I believe we can turn it around starting today. So we should all be in jail. We all have been very, very bad boys and girls. We've been very, very stupid boys and girls. We've been very, very naughty boys and girls. We have been very, very dishonest boys and girls. Dishonest, I said. You, dear listener, whom I love and want to hug because you or shake your hand, because you came to PassionSaving.com to learn about saving and investing. You, who I spend all my energies trying to attract to the site and who have honored me with your presence, you, dear listener, have been dishonest. You've been brazenly dishonest. You've been dishonest in how you've talked about stock investing with your friends. You've been dishonest in how you've talked about stock investing with your family members. You've been dishonest in how you've talked about stock investing with your community members on discussion boards that you participate at. You've hurt people. You've hurt yourself, and you've hurt others. Bad, bad listener. Bad hobbit. You're a hobbit, or you wouldn't be here. And hobbits are good, so you must have good in you. I know you have good in you, but you have been bad. You have been so bad. All right, let's try to ground this. What the heck am I talking about? Well, I got off on this. I there was an article. These things just keep coming at me, you know. I make the rounds of the internet, and I've got my x-ray vision as a result of the fact that I am a confirmed rational investor and have rejected in toto the passive investing nonsense. There was an article by a woman named Laura Goldman at a website called Pajama is it pajamamedia.com or pajamasmedia.com? I'm not sure if it has an S or not. I look, you know how the internet, you get linked around, and I got linked, and I don't know, I started somewhere else, and I ended up there, and I saw some good articles there. There was another one that was very good. There were two very good articles. And this one was by Laura Goldman, and if you want to check it out, it was in pajamasmedia.com on March 16th, 2009. And the title was Bernie Madoff's guilty plea isn't good enough. We all know who Bernie Madoff is. He had a hedge fund. I think he pleaded guilty. I hadn't realized that. I don't follow Bernie Madoff. It's not something that interests me, except to the extent that it affects the emotions of investors. And so this indicates he has pleaded guilty. So I no longer have to say I don't know whether he's really a bad guy. He admits he's a bad guy. Bad Bernie Madoff. Bad. Oh, you're so bad. Now, I shouldn't make fun, because he really is bad. He really did run a Ponzi scheme, and he really hurt people terribly. And if I have a chance, I'm going to read some from a New York Times article. And, you know, some of these people were hurt in terrible, terrible ways. There's this fellow, you probably know all this, but this fellow, let me pull the article up. I'll get everything wrong if I get my facts wrong. That hurts me in the credibility department, so it's a good thing to sometimes check before you say things, you know? Do it the old-fashioned way. Who was this guy, though? This one fellow who I don't understand why he put everything in this. This guy, it only has his last name. Is it Weissel, I imagine? The guy, he had a book, I think, about the Holocaust, is my recollection. I don't know. I've never read the book, but I've... Ellie Weissel. And he had a foundation that lost more than $15 million in the Madoff fraud, and he and his wife lost their personal fortune as well? Oh, boy. Here's a guy. He's you know, he's putting money into a foundation over the course of a lifetime, I'm sure. This is a lifetime project. Can you imagine? $15 million plus his personal fortune of I don't know how much. Gone? And the stocks never even existed? The guy was just sending out pieces of paper? Oh. I don't know. Stock investing is too serious for us not to apply the rules that apply in other areas of life endeavor to stock investing. We have to start applying intelligence to stock investing, I believe, and we have to start applying integrity to discussions of stock investing, I believe. Those are controversial ideas, believe me. They don't sound controversial. They shouldn't. I never would have imagined they would have been controversial in an earlier day, but I've learned to my chagrin, that they are indeed controversial. But that's the answer. If we allow intelligence and integrity to be applied to discussions of stock investing, this goes away. But the hard part is, that sounds so easy. The hard part is there is no other way. Nothing else will do it. And applying intelligence and integrity to stock investing means admitting we were wrong about all the things we've done for 30 years that show a lack of intelligence and a lack of integrity. So that's the toughie. The toughie are those three magic words, I and was and wrong. So Laura Goldman, she made some good points in this article. She says, titled Bernie Madoff's guilty plea isn't good enough. And I'm not going to read the article. I'm just going to read a sentence or two. But one quote was really good. She says, well, she was talking about regulation, SEC. She's mad at the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission. And a lot of people are. And this article, there's another article on Bernie Madoff I hope to get to, but I have a feeling I'm going to run out of time and won't get to it. But A lot of people are mad at the SEC because there was a guy, this is the amazing thing about this whole Bernie Madoff thing. There was a guy like, sort of like me, just a guy, you know, he didn't have any official position. And he looked into this Bernie Madoff thing and he said, this is an outrage. He says, the numbers don't add up. This is all a fraud. And he wrote like a 17-page memo, you know, sort of like I go on and on. You know, when you get into this stuff, you get into it. And he sent it off to the SEC. He said, look, this whole thing's a fraud, and here's the numbers, and I can prove it. It's got to be a fraud. I mean, the numbers don't lie. And the SEC looked at it, and they said, oh, investigate this, and they investigate. It's all fine. All checks out. You know, and people are saying, what the heck's everybody's talking about we need more government regulation of the finance sector because we all lost all our retirement money, or most of it. What good is more regulation going to do if the regulators check out Bernie Madoff and they give him a clean bill of health? What good is regulation if it doesn't work? It's like we're all talking nonsense. It's not, you know, we've got to solve that problem. You can't just solve the Bernie Madoff problem. You can't just put the guy in jail. You got to figure out why didn't the SEC catch it and why didn't anybody else catch it? Why did all these investors put all their money in it? The word government regulation doesn't solve the problem. Yes, of course, we need government regulation, but just hiring more government regulators or paying them more money, that's not going to solve it. We've got to figure out why the government regulators, why it didn't work. We've got to solve that. And this article says, a thin veneer of regulation. She's being critical of the SEC, and she says, a thin veneer of regulation may be worse than no regulation at all. I think that's a wonderful sentence. A thin veneer of regulation may be worse than no regulation at all. At least with no regulation, I can't read what I wrote here, but basically, at least with no regulation, we will know to be careful. Now, we are under the mistaken notion that the SEC is looking out for us. That's a powerful point. The implications of that point reach in dozens of directions. What we have today is, this happens all the time. I was talking just in the other, I think it was yesterday's podcast or a few days ago, there was a guy at Bogleheads who was saying, oh, I believe in everything Bogle says, you know, I'm a Boglehead all the way, but I'm questioning whether it's going to work because it's all fraud. So if it's all fraud, investing intelligently doesn't work. Well, duh. Yeah, I mean, I'm not making fun of the guy. He's right on. But this is the problem. And yes, you know, this point here is so powerful. What we have today is a stock industry called, I don't know what you call it, I call it the stock selling industry, that is corrupt from beginning to end, just the whole thing. They're not bad people. All the ones I've ever run into were nice people. You know, I'm sure there are some bad people in there. There's bad people in the, you know, in every industry. There's bad people in journalism. There's bad people in acting. There's bad people, architects, you know. But from all I can tell, most of them are smart and nice. You know, hardworking, decent. But the industry is totally, completely corrupt. 100%. There's almost nothing that comes out of it that is right. I mean, there's these, as I say, Shiller's right. There's the names I mentioned, but those guys barely are tolerated. You know, they're just about drummed out. And Shiller gets to stay because he's got tenure, you know. But the others sort of have to keep a low profile, or they have to stick to little bear boards, you know. Don't go out of the neighborhood. Because if they go out of the neighborhood, there's kids standing there at the corner with rocks in their hand. And if Cliff Asness starts walking down the wrong street, they're going to pelt him with rocks. You know, just try. I would dare Cliff Asness or Rob Arnott to show up at bogleheads.org and see what happens to them. You know, Mel Lindauer will be out there with his six-shooter in 15 seconds. You know, put these guys away. You're not allowed to tell the truth about stock investing at bogleheads.org or at Motley Fool or at Morningstar or indexuniverse.com or now the financial Wed Ring Forum and the latest place was Money Bloggers Network. Can't tell the truth about stock investing at those kinds of places. Can't tell the truth about stock investing to people who write money blogs. Well, if you tell the truth about stock investing, they might tell their readers. Then what? Then their readers will know the truth about stock investing. The readers won't be losing all their retirement money. How do you think that's going to make those? How do you think that's going to make us that promoted passive investing on our blogs look? We're going to look like fools and idiots and creeps. Can't have that. I mean, that's how deep the corruption is. It's so deep that you literally cannot tell the truth about stock investing on any discussion board on the internet. Because John Greeney, you know, they put something in Google, the goons, and it tells them. So if certain magic words like, you know, the stock return predictor gives accurate information and the retirement risk evaluator. So if you mention those things, Google sends Greeney's goons an email and then they know to run to that spot. And then when they run to that spot, the owner says, well, I don't want these goons after me, so I'm going to ban, you know, this thread had honest stuff in it, so I'm going to just delete it. That's the way it works, believe it or not. I've been there. I know the story. Now, you know, the question, of course, is how could something like that happen? You know, how could there be a situation where some guy, you know, I'm just a guy who posts on the internet. Well, John Greeney's the same thing. How is it there's some guy who just posts on the internet has all this power? He has all these goons that follow him around and engage in all these abusive tactics on his behalf. How did that happen? Well, it's all part of that system. What happened is all the Greeney goons are just people like you and me, and not Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff's sort of different because he's intentionally dishonest. It's different. But they're just regular people like you and me and Mel Lindauer and whoever else, you know, Bogle and Clements and all these people. So they fell for the passive investing junk. And then when somebody points out what the historical data says about how stock investing works in the real world, they're angry as hornets because they've been fooled and they've been shown to be fools. And they've told other people their foolish ideas that they believed, and they've hurt other people, loved ones. So they're willing to be goons. They're willing to degrade themselves. That's the story. You know, like it or not, it's not a pretty story, but it's a true story. And as a journalist, I've always had a certain attraction to true stories. Pretty or not, you know, reporters write about wars. They write about people getting their arms and legs blown off. It's one of the things you have to do. You write about what happens. You write about what appears before your eyes. Pretty or not, if it's true. If you aspire to be a good journalist, you do that. And I think most do. I know most do. But the point here, a thin veneer of regulation may be worse than no regulation at all. See, and then the follow-up is, at least with no regulation, we know to be careful. Now we are under the mistaken notion that the SEC is looking out for us. We'd be better not to have any SEC at all than to have an SEC that checks things out and gives Bernie Madoff a clean bill of health. Because what's going on is people like this guy at Bogleheads who said, oh, it's all corrupt. He's thinking in his head, he's thinking, if there were anything really fraudulent, somebody would do something. You know, we've got SEC, we've got Fortune Magazine, we've got Money Magazine, we've got Barron's, you know. They would find out and they'd tell me and I wouldn't lose my retirement money. But they ain't telling. They ain't telling. I wrote to USA Today about the demonstrably false claims in the safe withdrawal rate studies that we use to plan our retirements. And the answer I got back was, not for us. Not for us. They ain't telling. It be better not to have a press, a financial press, reporting. Just as it would be better not to have an SEC, because if the financial press is going to promote passive investing and not tell us the flaws in it, not tell us that the historical data doesn't support it, that there's 30 years of academic research showing that valuations affect long-term returns, and that passive investing can never work. We're better not to have them promoting passive investing. We're better just to figure it all out on our own. This is how I feel about discussion boards. They always say to me, they say, oh, Rob, you're such a meanie telling the truth about stock investing and telling the truth about safe withdrawal rates. You shouldn't come around our boards and upset people. Well, first of all, 80% of the board communities want to hear the truth. And my guess is that's true in the general population as well. So the vast majority want to know the truth. If we did something about the goons, it'd be no problem. And two, it helps everybody to tell the truth. Even the goons are better off knowing the realities. They've lost money. John Graney's the leader of the goons. He's the number one king of goons. And Graney told me the other day he lost well in excess of $1 million in the stock crash. So let's say $1.3 million. He wouldn't have lost that $1.3 million if we had allowed honest posting. If the owner of Motley Fool had stepped in and said, I am not going to permit this, I'm going to permit honest posting, our entire business was developed for the purpose of helping people learn how to be better investors, which it was. I'm highly confident. I've had dealings with the owners of Motley Fool. One of the co-owners, Tom Gardner, wrote a blurb for my book. Tom Gardner didn't form that company for the purpose of causing people to suffer busted retirements. But he wasn't willing to do anything about John Graney. He wasn't willing to hire employees who would enforce the rules, not when passive investing is on the table. When the subject of passive investing is on the table, or safe withdrawal rates, no. The rules that apply on all other subjects get thrown out the window. And I'm saying that's bad. I'm not only saying it's bad. I'm saying you'd be better with no Motley Fool at all. Motley Fool has done wonderful things. I'm the biggest fan, and Morningstar has, and Boglehead.org has, and Index Universe has, and Financial Webring Forum has, and Money Bloggers Network has. What I'm saying is, all the good they do is canceled out when they ban honest posting on stock investing because of the damage they do. Because all the good, you see, what happens is they do all this good stuff, and that causes people to believe. This is the John Bogle story. Bogle is the best investing advisor that ever lived and the worst at the same time, because he's given so much, all the great stuff he's done, all the gold, causes people to believe in him. People love John Bogle. I love him. I know how they feel. But then he tells them invest passively, and that destroys them. And they would have never listened to him if he hadn't done all the great stuff. So the more great stuff we do, the more pain we cause. Because the great stuff gives us credibility when we're promoting passive investing. And passive investing causes us to lose all our money. Now, I won't go through a long explanation. You need to listen to the other podcast. I talk about it over and over again. But the short answer is, why does passive investing cause us to lose all our money? It tells us not to look at prices. It tells us not to time the market. The only way to pay attention to price when buying stocks is to have higher allocations at reasonable prices and lower allocations at insane prices. That's the only way to do it. And if you're not timing the market, you're not doing it. And in any industry in which you ignore price, you're going to destroy the economy. There is no other industry that exists in which we follow this crazy idea, except investing, except stock investing. But if we applied it to cars, we would have caused an economic crisis by saying cars for the long run. If we had adopted a rule telling people don't pay any attention to the price of the car you buy, and people didn't even look at the price tag before paying, they just looked at the car and they never knew how much they had paid, the price of cars would double in a year. And then in another year, they'd double again. And in another year, they'd double again. And 10 years later, we'd be paying $1 million for a car. And 20 years later, we'd be paying $20 million. It would never stop. And eventually, the entire wealth of the economy would be directed to the car industry, and every other industry would disappear, and we wouldn't have food to eat, and we would die. You cannot have an industry as big as the stock industry and not pay attention to price. It cannot be. Passive investing is a suicide act. To persuade millions of people not to pay attention to price is to persuade millions of people to commit suicide with their retirement accounts. So says Rob Bennett, but that is what I believe. It cannot work. It's not just that it has never worked. It's caused devastating losses every time it's been tried. But it's not just that it has never worked. It's that it can never work. And what we do, what we've done in the past is passive investing has destroyed us 4 times. It's wiped out our retirement accounts 4 times in U.S. history and caused economic catastrophe 4 times in U.S. history. The first time was in the early 1900s. I wasn't around. I don't know details. But the loss in stocks was about 65%. Big, big price crash. Then the late 1920s, the Great Depression. Another, at that time, the loss was 80%. Then the mid-60s, when prices went insane, caused the stagflation of the 70s. We had about a 50%, a little over 50% loss in stock prices in the 70s. But we had stagflation, another economic catastrophe, and now the late 90s. We had far higher prices in the 90s than ever before, far higher than the Great Depression. So we're likely in for far worse economic catastrophe than the Depression because we chose to be. We chose that for ourselves. Now, we didn't know, you know, there's a foggy understanding. I mean, we obviously didn't, you know, we didn't go in and vote and say, I want economic catastrophe. But when you agree to allow passive investing to be promoted to your friends and your neighbors, what do you think's going to happen? It's always caused economic catastrophe before. Why would you think it would be different this time? The point here is, These little trivial stopgap measures that everybody's talking about, we need to hire more government regulators. It's all fine and good to have government regulators. I got nothing against it. But there is no government regulator who's going to stand up to millions of people who want to believe that their retirement accounts are worth 3 times what they really are worth. You're just not. I tried. I know whereof I speak. You know, I lived this story. I was on the Motley Fool board. I was the most popular poster at the entire website. And I did one thing. I told the truth about the studies we use to plan our retirements. I looked at the data myself. I didn't trust the quote-unquote experts to do it for me. I looked at the data. And the data tells you the numbers are nowhere even close. They're wildly off the mark. The grainy study says these retirements were 100% safe, and I looked at the data and it said they're 30%. They have a 70% chance of going bust, 30% chance of surviving. That's 100% safe? You got a 1 in 3 bet? That's 100% safe? I did that one thing. I told one truth, and that caused the destruction of the entire board community, burned to the ground, and I was banned from the site. And you can't talk honestly about safe withdrawal rates at that site to this day. John Woodrow Russell, he hasn't been banned, and he goes back every now and then and it talks on another board. There's some retirement investing board, and he tells the truth there, and they swarm in there with abusive posting. And they do it, of course, at Vanguard Diehards. They do it at Morningstar.com. They do it at Bogleheads.org. They do it at Index Universe, on and on and on and on. So people have to understand this. Well, the first point I wanted to make is that we are better to have no regulation than to have what we have. Now, I don't recommend no regulation. I think that would be insane. But that would be better than what we have. Be better to have no... The Bogleheads.org board is the best place to learn how investing works on planet Earth, in Rob Bennett's opinion, because you're not talking academic theories. You're looking at real live investors. You're getting the real story. You're getting the emotional side of investing, which is what you need to get to learn. So it's great. But all the good work they do causes people to have confidence in the ideas, and the idea being pushed most aggressively there is passive investing. So what they're doing is they're giving people a little bit of good stuff, getting their hopes up, getting their confidence, and then destroying them with the worst investing idea ever developed by mortal man. The idea that you don't need to pay attention to price. So is this a good thing or a bad thing? It has the potential to be a hugely great thing, 10 times greater than the owners of that site understand. But in order for that to happen, they've got to acknowledge that passive investing can't work. And I don't think that part is so hard, because obviously everybody would benefit from that, including the owners of the site. So what's the, you know, there's no negative. But the negative is they'd have to admit that they personally were wrong all the years they were promoting passive investing. That's the killer. That's what's holding it back. That's why anyone who posts honestly on valuation questions at the board is banned if they stick at it. If they take the hint and drop it, they're allowed to stay around. But if they try to explore the implications, they will be banned. And there's no exceptions to the rule. If you go over there and you link to the retirement risk evaluator or the stock return predictor or the scenario surfer, you will be banned. Unless, you know, one of these days, there's going to be a group of 10 that are going to all stick together and say, no, we will not be banned, you know, Mr. Lindauer, and then it won't happen anymore. Once we work up the, you know, the gumption to say, we don't want our retirements to go bust, and we don't want the retirement plans of our fellow community members to go bust. So we're not going to, you know, we're going to insist that honest posting be permitted. Well, the point here is the veneer of regulation may be worse than no regulation at all. In other words, you've either got to do it right or just don't do it. Now, she makes another point talking about the accounting firm, Madoff's accounting firm. She says, when I am evaluating the accuracy of the returns of a hedge fund, the first place I turn to is the accountant. Madoff's accounting firm needs to be held accountable for certifying false, can't read that word, sorry friends, false reports maybe. It's clear that they did nothing but sit back and collect fees. Well, again, what, you know, it is, she makes good points. What she's saying is she doesn't want a guilty plea. She sort of wants a trial. So that all these things will come out. She says, Madoff had to have other people working with him. He couldn't have done this by himself. And we need to know. She's saying, in order to stop it in the future, we need to know what happened. So a guilty plea, you know, puts everything under the rug. That's the point. Now, I think it's a good point. But I also think she's falling victim to a logical fallacy that I see many people falling victim to. What she's sort of suggesting here, she's saying, well, I would look at the accounting firm, and you hear people say this about the Madoff victims all the time. You know, why didn't they check it out? They're greedy. Yeah, they're greedy. How are the Madoff victims any more greedy than the passive investing victims? I do a thing at my website. It's called Today's Passion. It's a link every day in the right-hand corner of the blog where I just link to some article I saw on the internet that I like. I only do one a day. And one that I picked up today was some guy, and I can't tell you his name, but he had an article, the five, what's the phrase he used? The five Wall Street... Oh, I wish I could get the right name. It was a whoppers. Yeah, the five biggest Wall Street whoppers. In other words, stuff that you've been told that is demonstrably false. that caused you to lose all your money. And number one on the list was buy and hold. And of course, the guy's right. Buy and hold is essentially passive investing. It's never worked. It can't work. Buy and hold means ignore price. If you ignore price, you're going to get wiped out sooner or later. We don't know when. You know, it might be 1997, might be 1999, might be 2003, might be 2008. You don't know. But you know you're going to get wiped out. There's zero chance. The only way, if the market didn't crash, the whole thing would just disintegrate. The whole purpose of a market is to return to fair price. When you're at three times fair price, and you've got to return to fair price for the system to keep functioning, what do you think's going to happen? So, what people are trying to do today is they're trying to square the circle. They're saying, oh, if only we had been smarter, if only we had better accounting firms, and if only we had, if the SEC had hired better people, and if only the news media had covered it, you know, and all this kind of stuff. You know, this is Jon Stewart telling, who was it? Jim Cramer. Oh, if only Jim Cramer, weren't such an entertainer, and he would give more, blah, 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 blah. It's true that all these things are wrong, but it sort of misses the point. You know, what did Jon Stewart do about it? He made some good points in this debate, whatever they had. But did he buy stocks when they were selling for three times fair value? And if he did, who is he to point the finger at anybody else? Who is he to point the finger at Jim Cramer? If he himself contributed to the problem, did you buy stocks, dear listener, at any time from 1995, when stocks went to insanely dangerous levels, to 2008, when they returned to reasonable levels? Did you or did you not buy stocks during that 13-year time period? Odds are strong you did. Most of us did. If you bought stocks, who are you to sneer at Jim Cramer or Bernie Madoff or any of the others? The Wall Street, what was the word again? Whoppers. The people telling the Wall Street whoppers. John Bogle, Mel Lindauer, John Graney. This is an important point. I don't know if you like what I'm saying or you don't like it. I do not know. What I know is that it's an important point. I know what I'm saying is true. Confidence level's very high. There's different degrees. You know, Bernie Madoff did. He did do something worse in that it was intentional fraud. It wasn't, you know, with the people promoting passive investing, it's cognitive dissonance. They talked themselves into believing nonsense. So it's unintentional fraud. It's inadvertent financial fraud. That's different than what Bernie Madoff did. Bernie Madoff, it was deliberate fraud. But if we're going to solve the problem, you know, is it going to make you feel better to have Bernie Madoff hanging from a tree? It's not going to make me feel better. I want everybody to get their retirement money back. I'm in the business of helping people learn how to achieve financial freedom early in life. To do that, we've got to start investing our money effectively. I want the economy not to go over a cliff. I didn't lose any money in the stock crash, but if we go into a depression, guess what? I lose it all. Because there ain't going to be any U.S. economy if we go into a depression. If we go into a depression, there's going to be a world war. For heaven's sakes, people. There's something available today that wasn't available in the 1930s. It's called nuclear weapons. You ever hear of that? If there's a world war, you know, it's over. Nobody's going to be worried about their 401k accounts. We're talking like idiots. We're idiots, babe. It's a wonder we can even feed ourselves. We're idiots, babe. the fake. Yeah, this was the point I always made about discussion boards. They say, oh, Rob, you know, there's some people here don't want you here. The authors of the old school studies, they don't like it one bit when you tell the truth. Why don't you just go away? And I say, well, one reason is a lot of my friends are here. But I say, secondly, I put years of my life into building up the Motley Fool board. I attracted thousands of people to that board. Some of the insights that were developed at that board are some of the most important insights in personal finance in history. Thousands of people contributed. And I checked the rules out before I put up my first post to make sure that the types of tactics that were used by Grainy to destroy the board were not permitted. So is that not fraud? Was I not defrauded? Were the thousands of people who built that board not defrauded by Motley Fool? I sure think they were. And they were defrauded at Morningstar, and they were defrauded at IndexUniverse.com, and they were defrauded at Financial Webring Forum, were they not? When a site owner promises that he will protect you from goon posting and doesn't honor his word, is that not a form of fraud? I sure think it is. It's a kind of fraud we tolerate. Why do we tolerate it? Because the people committing the fraud are telling us what we want to hear. They're telling us, you'll get to keep that money. That's real. That's real. All the money you made in the bull market, oh, you can plan your retirement around that. You can just go ahead and take 4% because that's real. That's not cotton candy. Oh, no, that's real. And when somebody points to the historical data, that doesn't work so hot. That argument doesn't work because the historical data shows it's not real. And so they've got to post abusively to keep the fiction going. A lot of people say, well, the people who fell for the Bernie Madoff scheme were greedy. I don't think they were remarkably any more greedy than any of the rest of us. Maybe a little bit. They just happened to run into this guy, and instead of hearing it from John Bogle, they were hearing it from Bernie Madoff, and it sounds just about the same. The whole deal in the finance industry is you talk a good line of bull. That's it. If you are recommending passive investing, you're talking a line of bull. I don't say intentionally. I don't say intentionally, because I know for a fact. The reason I don't say intentionally is I struggled with that question for a long time. Is this intentional? And I became convinced it's not because somebody like Grainy lost $1.3 million. If it was intentional, he would have taken his money out. He wouldn't have lost $1.3 million. He believes it. I'll swear to that. You know, on a Bible. He believes it. And if he believes it, there's, you know, what? It's not just him. There are thousands, millions who believe it. And if the millions believe it, why should I not believe that Bogle believes it or that Clements believes it or that Bernstein believes it? I think they all believe it. They don't believe it. They don't believe it totally. They know that, you know, they've seen the research. They know that there's 30 years of research showing that valuations affect long-term returns. Every one of them gets that as far as I can tell. They all are hypersensitive to the historical data. They freak out when you mention it. So they know that what they're saying doesn't hold up. That's why they're so brutal in the suppression of it. They're leaders, and they're doing our will. We want them to suppress the realities. We don't want to hear. And they're doing it on our behalf, and they're doing it effectively. But by suppressing the realities, we are destroying ourselves. The key to all this is to stop suppressing the realities. To develop a new model of understanding how investing works that is not rooted in fraud and deception and intimidation and word games, but is rooted in a desire for financial freedom, which leads you to the opposite of passive investing in every possible way. If you desire financial freedom, you want to know what the historical data really says. You don't want to know fantasies. You can't retire on fantasies. You want to use your human reason. You don't want to suppress it. You want to encourage honest posting by as many community members as you can encourage to participate. You don't want to ban honest posting if you want to achieve financial freedom early in life. People who fell for Bernie Madoff were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. They fell for the same stupid arguments all the rest of us fell for. You know, they just happened to be hearing them from a guy who was involved in intentional fraud instead of, you know, what 90% of the industry is involved in, which is unintentional fraud. That's the only difference that I can see. But it's the same basic line of BS. I'll bet you $5 if you could go back and see a recording of the pitch Bernie Madoff made, it would sound sweet to your ears. Just like Bogle's pitch is sweet to the ears. Just as Bernstein's pitch is sweet to the ears. Just as Mel Lindauer's pitch is sweet to the ears. Just as John Graney's pitch is sweet to the ears. Sweet to the ears doesn't pay the electric bill when it's cold outside. The historical data pays the electric bill when it's cold outside. That's real. And the historical data says passive investing has never worked and never can. That's what counts. That's the real stuff. And creating these you know, discussion boards are, in my belief, discussion boards are a huge communications medium of the future. They have great power to explain things that cannot be explained through books and articles and speeches because they're community developed. They're real live people contributing their perspectives. It's very different than what you get just reading the academic literature. Very, very different and very powerful. But if they're all just fraud, which is what they are, once there's a ban on honest posting on the subject matter, they're fraudulent enterprises. And if they're fraudulent enterprises, all they are these Potemkin villages. They're just pretend worlds. And people come into them and they see and they say, oh, 1,000 people all agree. Oh, this must be right. But the truth is, there's 1,000 that don't agree, and they've all been either physically removed by being banned or silenced because they've seen how vicious the smear campaigns are. If they tell the truth, then they've said, I'm not telling the truth. Are you telling? I'm not telling the truth. So it's all a fraud. It's all an act. It's all a play. None of it's real. And we're all, and this is how we convince ourselves that it's okay. You see, we all have common sense. We all had doubts. When stocks had gotten to 3x fair value, our common sense told us that can't be right. There's going to be a huge crash. And we went to discussion boards and everybody said, oh, no. Studies, on and on and on, all this BS. And we said, oh, I guess it's okay. I'll put some more money in. I'll put some more money in. So, do we need to do something about the fraud? Yeah, of course. Of course. But you can't, you know, there's a couple things we need to think about. One, we've got to look at the man in the mirror. You're not telling the full story if you just say, oh, it's all those bad people that did it to us. All those bad people. We're the bad people. We're the market. If we can't look within, we can't solve the problem. And something else we're going to need to consider, I think we're going to need to adopt an amnesty. Because the people, I think one of the problems going on here is that the quote-unquote experts, they don't want to tell the story because they're afraid of lawsuits. They've caused millions of people to suffer busted retirements. They don't want to acknowledge it because they're afraid of what's going to be done to them. You know, Bernie Madoff's hanging from a tree today. Who's next? We're going to have to get serious, and getting serious means we're going to have to adopt a national amnesty. We need the intellect of these people. We need these people helping us. There's no reason why all of the people who have promoted passive investing cannot become constructive contributors in future days. They're intelligent, good people. But they, you know, they're talking nonsense as long as they're talking passive investing. That's, you know, that's not me saying that. That's 30 years of academic research saying that. So that's got to stop. And we've got to figure out a way to make it stop without causing a million lawsuits. And I think we're going to have to adopt an amnesty. And we're going to have to do something about the bans on honest posting at the various sites. We're going to have to talk to the site owners and say, look, starting today, you've got to open this board to honest posting. But that's, of course, going to look bad because you banned it earlier. Well, I think the thing to do is we all sort of hold hands and we all agree to tell the truth at the same time. And then we go to these site owners, and instead of suing them or the experts, I don't know about the site owners. The site owners is a harder one because the people who got the passive investing thing wrong, there are so many that got it wrong, I think we have to have an amnesty. I don't think we should have an amnesty on the bans on honest posting because we have to change the rules for the internet. We have to allow honest posting on all subjects on the internet. It's degrading. People do their business on the internet today. And a ban on honest posting is degrading to the people who agree to it, to the people who enforce it, and to all the people who listen to the dishonest post. We all should be permitted to post our honest beliefs on internet discussion boards. So says Rob Ennett. And that means we have to have laws that say if a site owner permits these vicious smear campaigns against posters solely because they posted honestly, the site owner will be held responsible. That's the rule outside the internet. Slander and defamation are crimes. Death threats are felonies. The site owner should be held responsible when they facilitate death threats and encourage death threats. The year Graney made the death threats against anyone who posted honestly on safe withdrawal rates, Motley Fool put him up for Poster of the Year honors. They encouraged this behavior. And Morningstar encourages Mel Lindauer all the time. He terrorizes the Vanguard diehards board. And Vanguard has never done, Morningstar has never done anything to protect that board community against Mel's efforts. It's a problem. It's a problem. And it's a problem that John Bogle shakes hands with Mel Lindauer at the annual meeting. He says, oh, my good buddy, Mel. And Mel, don't think Mel doesn't use it. Mel calls Bogle his mentor. Bogle is Mel's mentor. That's where Mel gets his credibility. That's why people listen to him. I'll shake Mel's hand. I said when I attend the meeting, I will shake his hand. First thing I'll do, I'll say, Mel, my friend. But I will also point out when he engages in smear tactics, I will say something. I will not sit quiet like a mouse in the corner like John Bogle does. I will stand up and I will say, Mel, you are out of line, friend. You are out of line. And by doing that, I am honoring my responsibilities to my fellow community members. Bogle should do the same and needs to start doing the same. You see, it's not one act of fraud we're talking about here. It's thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of acts of fraud. Every time someone fails to speak up, when a passive investing dogmatist threatens physical violence against someone for reporting what the historical data says about how stock investing works, the person who fails to speak up is engaging in a small act of fraud. Small act of dishonesty. Small act of low behavior. And of course, the purpose is intimidation. So the intimidation gets thicker. This is why the academic researchers are afraid. They don't believe in the efficient market theory. Rob Arnott asked them, and not one in a group of 200 raised his hand when asked, do you believe in this stuff? But they're not going to tell you that because they know what will happen to them if they do. We can't have an economy where people are afraid to tell us the truth about stock investing. We just can't. Now, historically, what has happened is, you know, people have believed, what has historically happened is the passive investing idea comes into and out of fashion. It comes into fashion in bull markets, destroys millions of lives, and then we start over again. And if we destroy enough lives, it usually takes a couple decades for it to come back. But it always comes back. And then it's a cycle. There are years when the middle class is sternly warned not to put any money into stocks, and those are the years when stocks offer mouth-wateringly great returns. Then the middle class is urged to put all their money in stocks, and it all goes poof. And the pattern repeats like clockwork. But I believe things have reached a point where we have too much of our economy depends on this. We're too rich a people is what it comes to. When we became a richer people, the rules have to change. Because we have too much tied up. You know, in the old days, people didn't retire when they got old. They just died. They worked until they died. Now we put money into retirement accounts. Well, we can't have all that money just go poof. It's not practical. It's not realistic. We're going to have to open up the possibility of honest discussion of stock investing. We have to do it. This old way just doesn't work anymore. I think this is what we're facing today. I think what we're facing is a choice. It's a gut check. And either it's going to destroy us, which I put the odds of that about 1 in 3, or it's going to lead to the golden age of middle class investing. The first time in history when ordinary middle class people will have accurate information on how to invest in stocks available to them everywhere. On the internet, in books, in magazines, everywhere. Because if there's one influential group that allows honest posting, it's going to spread. If we can open up bogleheads.org to honest posting, Vanguard diehards are going to pick it up. And if Vanguard Diehards pick it up, Motley Fool's going to pick it up. And if Motley Fool picks it up, Early Retirement Forum picks it up. It's just going to spread and spread and spread because the desire for honest posting is huge. But the hard one is the first one, because the first one is the one that is the threat to the big shots. All the people who have advocated passive investing, they see themselves as having something at risk in this. The only way we're going to bring those people around is through major, major suffering. You know, currently a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, bad economic crisis, bad, you know. But they haven't personally experienced anything bad. Their retirement accounts are down, but, you know, they still have nice homes. They still have nice television sets. They still have nice beds, nice food. But when if there is a depression, if we go that far with this, that those things will start getting cut off. The communities will be destroyed. We'll have crime. We'll have wars. We'll have, you know, more and more destruction. And at some point, this proud human animal will say, I give up. I've caused too much pain even for me to bear it anymore. I was wrong. And then it's over. Because then the sunshine comes in. Then we start all working together to move forward. This is, you know, I give the two-prong approach. It's a combination of honesty and love. We should not ever be willing to post this honestly. Not ever. No negotiation, no discussion, no compromise. I will post honestly or I will post not. That's my motto. I will post honestly or I will post not. But once honest posting is permitted, then it should be the hand of kindness. Then it should be charity, love, diplomacy, warmth, friendship. Because we need these people. We need the people who have promoted passive investing. We need their insights. We need their intellect. We need their energies. They will help us. They will keep us honest. They will help us grow. But we must have the ability to post honestly, or the whole thing is ruined. So, if government regulation of the finance sector were what it should be, anyone who bought one share of stock from 1995 through 2008 would be in jail. If you bought stock that you didn't own before, you were making a statement. You know, when you buy something, it has effects on your not just on you, but on your community. You're making a statement. You're saying this is a good thing to buy. And you don't think people notice that? You don't think your kids notice? You don't think your friends notice? You don't think your coworkers notice? You're making a statement. You know, it's like this whole question of, what do they call it? People will only invest in certain kinds of businesses. Businesses that, you know, are socially responsible. That's what this is like. Is it socially responsible to invest in stocks when stock prices are insanely dangerous, when the entire economy is at risk? Is that socially responsible? I say no. What you should be doing when stock prices are where they were from 1995 through the first part of 2008 is selling stocks. Your statement should be, I want rationality in the stock market back. I want sanity back. I want fairness back. I want equity back. I want this to be a place to invest my money, not gamble it. I don't go to the stock market to gamble. I go to Las Vegas to gamble, not the stock market. I don't want the stock market being promoted as a place to invest when in reality it's a place to gamble. And when prices are where they were for those 13 years, the stock market is a big gambling casino. And we need to have responsible people step forward and say that. We're all complicit. And that's a two-edged comment. On the one hand, there's no one who's more critical of the quote unquote experts than me. I lay it on the line. But I'm not doing my job. My job is to help. To steer things in the right direction. And you don't steer things in the right direction with this, you know, this populism, it's called. I saw an article today. I'm going to link to it at the Today's Passion feature. But somebody said a line. I liked a line from it. They said, Huey Long and I might not have it perfectly right, but it was Huey Long and the liberal populist were a far bigger problem for Franklin Roosevelt than were the Republicans. What they were saying is, you know, people think now that it was, Republicans were trying to hold Roosevelt back. It was populists who were the real problem politically. And that's the situation we're heading into today. People are getting angry. And there's, you know, the anger is well merited. But the question is, where is it going to be channeled? Is this anger going to be constructive or destructive? If we use that anger to rebuild our economic system, to get all the books corrected that have advocated passive investing, and to get new calculators at thousands of websites that give accurate information on retirement and on 100 other subjects, asset allocation, all these things, then that anger is a good thing. But if the anger is just used to tear people apart, then all we're doing is causing more destruction. And it's honesty that turns that key. Because if you're honest, you'll do two things. One, you will acknowledge that any expert who has promoted passive investing doesn't know what he or she is talking about. It's gibberish. If you think passive investing can work in the real world, you don't understand the ABCs of stock investing. That's honest. But the second honest thing is, we all made the mistake to some degree or another. Each and every blessed one of us. So let's stop pointing fingers. Let's stop saying hurtful things. Let's reach out the hand of kindness to these people. These people are us. That's the point. These people are us. If you want to get angry at the people who destroyed your retirement account, get angry at yourself. If you want to solve the problem, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. And then forgive the others. Get to work. I don't think I have time for the Bernie Madoff thing. Maybe I'll try to go through it real quick. Let me see if I can go through it real quick. But it was a good article. It's by a famous writer in the investing field, Joe. Not sure how to pronounce it. Nocera, Nocera. In the New York Times, it was published March 13th, and the title is "Madoff Had Accomplices, His Victims." And he talks about some people who lost a lot of money, and then one guy goes off on the SEC, says there should be legislation, you know, they should give us our money back. And, you know, the writer, Joe Nocera, you know, he criticizes Madoff. You know, he doesn't hold anything back on that score. You know, but he basically says we can't give them their money back because, you know, they were foolish. They were foolish, and I question this. He says, what were they thinking? It was hard not to feel sad for her, indeed, for all the victims of Mr. Madoff's evil doing. But one also has to wonder, what were they thinking? And, you know, a big problem here is none of us can think coherently about investing in a world in which all, you know, 90% of the magazine articles push passive investing. 90% of the speeches push passive investing. 90% of the television shows push passive investing. How can anyone think coherently about this subject? I have personal experience with this question because I didn't think coherently about investing 7 years ago when I put up that famous post at Motley Fool. I have developed an ability to think rationally about investing because I've seen the pain it's caused. And you see that pain and you say, what's the story here? And you look into it and you see that the real problem is 70% of investing is emotion. We all want to lie to ourselves. We all want to pretend that bull markets are real. We all want to pretend that bull markets don't destroy the economy and bull markets don't destroy retirement accounts. Bull markets are somehow good. Take a poll. They should take a poll. Take a survey. You know, how many Americans think bull markets are good? How many people think the bull market of the 1990s was good? I'll bet you 80% or upwards of 80% believe the bull market of the 90s was a good thing. The bull market of the 90s is why we're going through this today. So how can anyone who thinks a bull market is a good thing understand the ABCs of stock investing? It's not possible. It's incoherent. If you don't even know what's good and what's bad, how can you tell somebody how to retire, how to put together a retirement plan? I'll say one more thing, and then I gotta let it go because of the time. But you know, I have this new calculator, the Investment Strategy Tester. It's not at the site yet, but it will be soon. And you hear, and I'll do a separate podcast on this. This is big, but you hear all the time. You know, all the passive investing enthusiasts, they say, oh, people should lower their stock allocations when they get near retirement. You know, oh, everybody else should have big stock allocations, but those getting near retirement, they should be a little more safe. So I plugged some things in. This calculator tests different strategies against 1,000 return sequences. And I tried, I set up a situation where, you know, is it better to go with a low stock allocation in retirement? Is that how you make your retirement safe? Or is it better to pay attention to valuations? And it's not close. The risk to retirees is not investing in stocks. Investing in, you know, even very large stock allocations do very, very well over 30 years if you pay attention to valuations. You compare what happens to a retirement plan that starts at a time of low valuations with what happens to a retirement plan that starts at a time of high valuations, and the numbers are just off the charts. You can't even describe it. It's so ridiculous. The risk to retirees is high stock valuations, not high, high stock valuations, not high stock allocations. Stocks are your best bet in retirement, so long as you don't buy them or hold them at times of insane prices. That's the truth. That's the reality. So what we're telling people is to do a bad thing, take their money out of stocks when they retire, but not to do the good thing, to protect themselves from valuation problems. We're doing the exact opposite of what works. What we should be doing is telling people, don't be afraid to be invested in stocks, but sure as shooting be afraid of high valuations. That's a killer. But that's not what we've been telling people for 13 years. We've been telling them, oh, timing doesn't work. Don't worry about valuations. Just leave, you know, whatever valuation you had before, just stick with it. Timing doesn't work. Don't worry about valuations. Buy and hold. The fraud is inside us. And we're going to decide as a people, do we want to be a better people or do we want to destroy our economic and political system? Because we can't say the words, I was wrong. When we say those three magic words, there's two other magic words that come into play. The advice that John Walter Russell's always giving us, have fun. Once we say those words, the poison's behind us. And then it's just a rebuilding effort. And we've got the intelligence and the technology and the industry to make this country great again. But it's a gut check. Either we can say those words or we can't. My sense is we're getting close, but we're not there yet. I don't want you to go in jail, fellow Hobbit. But we all belong in jail. We're all flawed. But we all also belong on the beach, you know, having a wonderful time in the waves. And that comes by acknowledging that we should be in jail. It comes from acknowledging that we were wrong and fixing it. And then a few years down the road, we're having a, you know, a fun day in the sun at the beach. And we look back and we say, thank God for that price crash, because that's what it took to break my ego. That's what it took to break my pride. That's what it took to turn this thing around. Good luck with your investing strategies. Take care.